Thanks, Gary.
Everybody, I'm Julianne, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Julianne.
Well, it's nice to be here, and I'm nervous, but I also feel at home, which is one of the loveliest things about coming for a bit. And it's exciting to be here, too, because I'm celebrating a birthday. Yesterday, I turned 8. Thank you. It's so lovely because I know that in this room of people, you all genuinely mean it, that you are happy that I got here because you know how hard it was to get here. Yeah. And, I did not get this right away. It took me a while. And it took me a while to even get in the front door. So anybody who is here for the first time or is in early days, I have nothing but the utmost of respect for you because... It's a miracle that I ever walked in. You know, I thought when I looked around that I had everything going for me. You know, I had a decent job and a good man and, you know, ultimately kids and enough money to get by. And on the outside, it just looked absolutely fantastic. And on the inside, it was a gaping black hole of despair. You know, I just could not figure out why it was that it looked like I had everything and I had absolutely nothing. And I wanted it to be about the things that had happened when I was little, you know. But it's come to my attention that not everybody feels the need to define themselves by the difficulties they had when they were little, you know. I didn't know that was optional. Life went so far as to try to get me into recovery. There was a point at which I was living in Seattle working for a very, very large recovery book wholesaler. And I used to buy the books and sell them to 12-step stores all across the West Coast and turn up at conventions and meet all these sort of luminaries. And I want you to know that even though my desk was piled high with books talking about how to get clean, I but never opened one up. You know? Like, I didn't even know it applied to me. That's how thick-skinned I was about the possibility of getting clean. The first person who suggested to me that there might be another way to live got me in the door by telling me it was a very spiritual program and I was a very spiritual girl and it might work for me. And what she meant is, you know, you read tarot cards. And I was like, oh, I do. You know, I thought I was going to come in and it was going to be like another spiritual program. But my ideas about what a spiritual program were so offbeat that when I first walked in at this time of year, 12 years ago, and I heard folks talking about their true feelings about the upcoming holiday season, I was like, wait, this does not sound spiritual at all. You know, I'm not coming back. This is way too scary. And it was absolutely terrifying to me to be in a room full of people who were telling the truth about what was going on in their lives. That was like the one thing I couldn't do. I couldn't tell anybody, you know, how unhappy I was. I was a great pretender, and that did not serve me in good stead in the first years of my recovery, because even though I was desperate, and even though I was just destroying everything around me, it was really important to me that I look good, you know, on the outside, and I just could never say, I'm always so amazed when people are in early recovery, and they're like, I'm not sure if I like it here. I'm not sure if I like you all. I'm not sure if I can do this, you know. I don't think I can live like this. I never did that. I never opened my mouth and questioned or asked or said what I was feeling. I just did what I've done my whole life. I was a good girl, did a lot of service, did my homework like I was told to the best of my ability. And it was no wonder that I walked out the door. Because the one thing I couldn't get my head around in my first recovery, you know, that turned out to save my life later on, I couldn't imagine how you could live like this. You know, I felt like I was being punished for having been an unsuccessful drug user, and the punishment was that I was going to have to go to NA meetings for the rest of my life with you, you know? And I felt like in those first years, I was like a dog with my nose pressed against the window of life. You know, looking in at the holiday scenes where all these people were making merry. And I forgot that it was not merry for me. You know, that when I was all dressed up with that champagne, I was dying. you know, that I took the drugs before I got there. I didn't actually do, you know, I forgot everything. I just felt like I was being left out. And I just could not figure out how to live like this or even find the way to want to live like this. Because it was not my first choice to be an addict, you know? Like, little girl, what do you want to be? A ballerina? A teacher? An addict? You know, no. I don't think so. And that's weird. I mean, part of it's probably because my mother was an addict. And it did not look good to me. You know, as a matter of fact, you know, it took me a while to put two and two together that her behavior and my behavior were linked. You know, that ability to run roughshod around the people that depend on you. I didn't get it. It was a very juicy relapse on alcohol, which is a drug. It was a very juicy relapse on alcohol that finally brought it all home to me. And when I came to, it was like everything I had heard all in those beginning years just sunk down deep into my skin. And I got it. You know, it's not about whether I wanted to be an addict. It's just like, that's just the way it is for me. This girl right here has a broken off switch. I will use until I'm unconscious. As a matter of fact, it's the way I like to roll. And when I'm using, what happens is I'm like, you know, I'm like this flower trying to grow. You know, I want to become something. I'm getting a better idea as I stay clean about what that is. But using it was like poking holes in the container. So anything good you put in, water or sun or nutrients, just came out the sides. You know, and I was trying to build this thing, and I couldn't figure out why it wasn't growing. And that relapse, that helped me so much to understand that you know, in my step one was about, it was about understanding that I have two choices. I can figure out how to live clean and, you know, not just come into meetings as a punishment, but like really live clean. Or I can, you know, just lay down and stop trying. And last time I did that, it, you know, that's what brought me to my knees in the first place. That hopelessness that makes it so you don't even try. You know, no risk taking, no courage, no hope. So my relapse was a beautiful thing. You know, and this 8 years has been the most beautiful, terrifying, agonizing, juicy, boring, interesting period of my life as I've tried to figure out how to be who I am, which starts at ground zero. I'm an addict. You know, I'm Julianne and I'm an addict. So I have a burden of care. And for me, that's about the fact that I can't get myself into situations that are so awful that it pulls out the rug from under my feet, because if that happens to me, I'm programmed to use. So I've developed this fantastic, like, I call it Mary Poppins bag, you know, of things where I can reach down inside and pull it out when I really need it, which is an awful lot of the time. I am one of those addicts for whom the steps have been it. You know, I've relied on those steps. I've laid back into them, kind of like a container to patch the holes in the pot so that the flower can grow. The steps have been the thing that's worked the best for me, because it's just helped mend everything from the inside out. Because I really, really want, you know, if not to be a neutral force, then to be a force of good in the world around me. You know, that is kind of my highest goal, to be a positive force. I'm a teacher. I work out in a great big school with a lot of people, and I wanna carry a message that's, you know, part of why I'm here tonight. Even, you know, just to be able to say that if you are humble and open-minded, if you take the time to look inside and see what it is that might be causing you to cause yourself and others pain, that there's a good chance that you can, you know, be a little light, if not a big light, on a good day. But at the very worst, I'd like to not cause harm. So I rely on the steps a lot to help me look at where I'm at and what I'm doing and where it is that I want to go. And I didn't have the ability to take an inventory before I came in here. I only could see, like, I'm great or I'm broken. I didn't have a middle ground. I had no way to look. And so I'm super, I mean, the steps for me, that the beating heart is the ability to look and take that inventory. That's the thing that helps me live clean. And also, it's kind of an exciting journey, figuring out who I am and how to live and what's my job and how I can be of service, you know, both in the fellowship and outside, because that's brought me a great deal of joy. I have a friend who always says, you know, the thing about NA that's so unusual is that all the other places I brought my broken down self, they gave me all these different remedies, but it's only in NA they say, oh, if you want to get better, turn around and help somebody else. And that's, you know, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to go with the Christmas miracle, but that's the miracle. And, you know, that I'm even here today is an absolute miracle because, you know, I used drugs from the moment I found them till the moment I woke up that day and knew that the gig was up. And it's how I'm programmed. My brother's an addict. My grandparents were addicts. My mom died from this disease. So, you know, wow, I'm so happy to be here, and I'm really glad that I've had a chance just to talk to you tonight and tell you how grateful I am to this program that, you know, not only saved my life, but it's turning into being the way that I can learn to live clean. So thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.